They had leaned toward the conclusion that, if they had to endure a higher carbon price, they would continue to oppose cap-and-trade, but might support a straight carbon tax. Between 2006 and 2008, following the internal review, ExxonMobil quietly began to test out this change of lobbying position. In private discussions at the American Petroleum Institute and at think tanks such as the Brookings Institution and the American Enterprise Institute, ExxonMobil executives rehearsed arguments in favor of a carbon tax without openly endorsing the proposal. A few reports in the business press hinted that ExxonMobil might be leaning toward a straight carbon tax. The corporation also explored what a Washington lobbying strategy in support of such a tax might look like. Justin Peterson, who had worked on Senator Elizabeth Dole's staff and on the 2000 Bush-Cheney presidential campaign, served as managing partner at the DCI Group, one of the outside lobbying firms in Washington that worked for ExxonMobil. Peterson supported a lobby coalition, the U.S. Climate Task Force, founded in 2008 and staffed by a former Gore aide, Elaine Kamark. The task force sought to advance a carbon tax as an economically efficient alternative to cap-and-trade. The group received funding from a business coalition called the Future 500, which tried to induce major American businesses not directly involved in carbon-intensive industries, Nike, Coca-Cola, Intel, Kraft Foods, and Hewlett-Packard, for example, to come out for a carbon tax. The task force tried to develop a campaign that could also attract major oil companies like ExxonMobil that opposed cap-and-trade. ExxonMobil participated in the task force and similar efforts, indirectly and quietly. "We had determined that a carbon tax was a better approach in our mind, but our engagement on that issue was below the radar," an ExxonMobil executive involved said. "We knew that if we came out and we said, 'ExxonMobil says that a carbon tax is the way to go,' it would backfire and the corporation would be accused of trickery. ExxonMobil would be accused of bad faith because they know that no one's going to vote for it, or they are just trying to slow down action, blah, blah, blah. We didn't want to come out publicly for that very reason. We just thought there would be a lot of baggage." Obama's election persuaded Tillerson to change tack. The ExxonMobil chairman first had to overcome internal objections, however. At the time of Obama's election, Dan Nelson, the Lee Raymond protege, was still running the corporation's Washington office. According to an executive who heard Nelson's arguments, he dissented from the plan to openly back carbon taxation. He argued to colleagues that Tillerson would only annoy ExxonMobil's political friends, incite its opponents, and confuse everybody else, without actually changing public policy. At the October 2008 off-site meeting organized by Ken Cohen, Bennett Freeman urged ExxonMobil's public affairs executives to endorse a higher carbon price. But between Election Day and the eve of Obama's inauguration, Tillerson hesitated. He resisted less for the reasons Nelson cited than because, reflexively, as a one-time Texan neighbor of Richard Army's, who donated regularly to Republican political candidates, it pained Tillerson to endorse any tax increase. As he spoke at the Wilson Center in Washington that January morning, Tillerson looked out at the cluster of dark-suited ExxonMobil executives in the audience just as he was about to read out the change in the corporation's lobbying position. "I still wasn't sure at that moment," he told them later. "Why are you making this carbon tax proposal now?" a reporter asked him afterward. "If we are going to take a view, take a position, we need to do it now," he said, "because the debate is going to get underway again. I've been chewing on this one for about 3 years, cap and trade versus carbon tax. What I've really been saying is, there has to be a third option, and I haven't been able to identify one. We have tried to get down into the details of, if you are going to design a cap and trade system in the United States, what is it going to look like? It's pretty scary. When you think about the enormous new bureaucracy that would have to be created, it would be bigger than the IRS. The default fact is that we've got to have something that is simpler." Another reporter pressed him. "Exxon and other producers will be facing a Democratic administration, a Democratic Congress. What kind of reception do you expect for the next 4 years? Chilly?" Tillerson laughed. "We still have friends on both sides of the aisle, As I said, we work with the government that is here, just like we work with the government in whatever country we are dealing with around the world. We are going to engage, and we hope that they value our input.